Have you ever experienced doing something you assume that is good, and yet you were misunderstood? They did not understand that what you were doing was for their good, for others' good. And that is one trait, one, I would say, not very great experience for Christians. We care for others. We care for others' concern. We care for others' welfare. But when we show our care, both in practical and spiritual life of others, we pray for their concerns. And yet when we speak and we give advice to what we perceive as confused lifestyle, not everyone is ready to appreciate. So should we stop giving advice? Should we stop warning other people when all we receive is some people would get angry, some people would just, I don't know, you have experienced that. One thing that we should remember, when we know it is good and not do it, it is sin in the eyes of God. When you know it's good and not do it, you commit sin. That's the sin of omission. You can find that out in James chapter 4, verse 17. So let's read Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 7 to 9. Let's read. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you wicked person, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade them from their ways, that wicked person will die from their sins, for their sins, and I will hold you accountable for their blood. But if you do warn the wicked person to turn from their ways, and they do not do so, they will die for their sin, though yourself will be saved. Even if you are not a pastor, even if you are not evangelist, even if you are not a preacher, we have responsibilities to speak of God's word, to speak about God's instruction. Nonetheless, it's preacher should be aware of the consequences, whether to warn or not to warn, there will be consequences. People would hate us when we warn them, but God will hold us accountable if we don't warn them. There's no choice, there's no in between. Apostle Paul was a former Pharisee. And as a Pharisee, he surely took serious consideration of what the Lord had told the prophet Ezekiel. Apostle Paul was called to preach the gospel of Christ to the Gentiles. And he did not mind, he did not worry about those who were offended by his preaching. He never compromised his message. And he was not afraid of the opposition of the gospel. He desired to obey the Lord. The Lord empowered him. And Apostle Paul looked forward to his reward that God prepared for obedience to his instruction. Remember that. God had already prepared rewards for obedience to his instruction. Apostle Paul may have perceived consequences of his courage in preaching the gospel of Christ. The Lord may have let him sense that he will be in trouble. He said in verse 25 of our passage, Acts 20, let's read this. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Anywhere the gospel of Christ is preached, wherever it is the gospel of Christ is preached, there will always be opposition. We should expect that. We should expect that. Whenever we speak, even in atmosphere that we perceive that is very friendly, there will always be opposition. Apostle Paul was persecuted everywhere he preached. It's not just a story that we read. It is a warning for its believer when we speak of God's word. What happened to Apostle Paul may possibly happen to every one of us when we talk about the word of God. And religious leaders were insulted when Apostle Paul preached. They were offended by his preaching, but he never wavered. Apostle Paul had displayed how he experienced the abundance of God's grace. This is why he said somewhere else in the book of Corinthians that God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. Can you say that? God's grace is sufficient. Say for me. God's grace is sufficient for me. Apostle Paul testified that God's grace was sufficient for him, so that even when he faced persecution, when he faced danger, he just keep on continuing what the Lord assigned him to do, that is to preach the good news of God's grace. As Apostle Paul bade goodbye to the elders of the Ephesian church, he told them with confidence that he did what God had commanded him to do, and that the Ephesian leaders had observed that. So he preached the gospel and the will of God with determination, and he gave the Ephesian leaders, the leaders of the Ephesian church, he gave them an example when he charged the Ephesian leaders to be more responsible shepherd of the church of the Lord in Ephesus. Let's read again verse 28. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flocks of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer, the shepherd of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Now, Apostle Paul admonished the elders of the Ephesian church to keep watch, not negligent. They can be careless, they can be inattentive to their duty, and Apostle Paul perceived that. That was why he warned them. Paul told them to keep watch of themselves too, first and foremost. What's over yourselves? That was the first instruction. What's over yourselves? Not to compromise the responsibility as elders of the church. A while back, we prayed for our leaders. We installed our leaders of this church. And this is a very timely reminder for our church leaders that they should first keep watch of themselves. Leaders, are you listening? Keep watch of yourselves. Your lifestyle is observed very closely by the church members first, and then others too. In your surrounding. And that is, why do you keep watch of yourselves? Why do we keep watch of ourselves? To gain respect from ordinary members of the church And as a reminder, not to compromise your responsibilities. Responsibilities given you. Your responsibilities is not for you to say, oh, I do this on my own. No, that should not be. First, you are accountable to God. Second, you are accountable to the church. And third, you will lose your reward if you don't do what God told you to do. When we elect leaders of this church, we believe that God had worked among us in our hearts to decide and select the person chosen by the Lord. So there's no pride for the church leaders to stand here, I'm the leader of the church. No, because it is not our qualification that made us leaders of the church. It is the Lord who had moved in the hearts of each member to choose you leaders to become leaders of the church. And that should be a humbling experience, because it is the Lord who called you when he allowed the church to decide and select you as leaders of the church. Now, can you agree? Can you accept that the Holy Spirit assigned our leaders as leaders of this church? Do you agree with that? Do you agree that it is the Holy Spirit who chose them to become leaders of this church? Can you say amen to that? Therefore, they are accountable to God, because it's God who chose them. Responsible or negligent, they will reap the consequences. Being responsible, they will reap reward. Being negligent, they will lose their reward, as God had prepared for obedience to his instruction. And as shepherd of the church, in our passage, Apostle Paul reminded the shepherds, the leaders of the church of Ephesus, reminded them of their responsibility to provide for spiritual needs of the church. And elders are called to take care of the church and not to scatter and not to divide. And this is why it is very appropriate that when we choose leaders, we pray that God would instill our hearts who would be the leaders, who would be our leaders. Pray that the Lord would raise elders from our ranks who have sincere care for the church and not become absentee Christian. The church leaders who drafted our constitution and bylaws, they prayed for the guidance of God, and some of the qualifications of elders written in our church constitution and bylaws were taken from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. Let's read this as a reminder. Here is a trustworthy saying: whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him. He must do so in a manner worthy of respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? We have to be very prayerful for our church leaders so that they would excel as leaders. And also, keep praying for each church member, that church member would not compromise, but to be more responsible and discern and choose God called leaders. Pray also for elected leaders and would, that they would keep watch of their spiritual lives, their lifestyle, and the spiritual needs of the church. Apostle Paul reminded the elders of the Ephesian church to keep watch of themselves, to be shepherds of the church, and to be watchful of savage wolves. Let's read this, verse 29 to 31. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Well, it's almost winter, it's fall, but it's not a secret that on springtime, weeds sprout everywhere, even in the field of wheat. Similarly, counterfeit Christians will arise to distort the gospel of truth and to disperse genuine disciples. Can you personally identify the genuine and the counterfeit believers? Do you know who is the genuine? Do you know who is counterfeit? During election of church leaders, not a few are confused when choosing leaders. And many Bible-believing churches have leadership problems. No church can say they have no problem in the leadership. Genuine church will always have problems in the leadership. Especially for churches with popular personalities, when they elect popular individuals who are not called by God, that is when problem arise. This is why, even if they are popular or not, if they are called by God, then we'll pray that God would enable us to discern those who has chosen to be leaders of the church. After election, that's not the end. We also continue to pray for the leaders we nominated and voted, we elected. It's time they cross our mind. Oh, this so-and-so, I saw him somewhere and not doing very well. Instead of criticizing, pray it might be that that person needed very much your prayer. Oh, let's pray for this so-and-so leader because this so-and-so leader is doing something. And that is gossiping, right? They gossip during prayer time. You do not need to tell every detail of what you have seen. If there's a need for prayer, if it can be told in discreet manner, that would be better. The church in Ephesus was not spared of savage wolves when Apostle Paul warned them of their responsibilities, of the possibility of savage wolves. He warned them because the Holy Spirit told Apostle Paul to warn them of possible savage wolves among themselves. The reason the Lord gave warning is because the Lord already knew what would happen in the future. And that's exactly what happened in the church of Ephesus. The church of Ephesus, mentioned in Revelation, has also encountered the problem of savage wolves or false prophet. We'll read that in Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Let's read. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walk among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard works, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. Genuine believers like the church of Ephesus attracted false apostles, false preachers. Genuine believers, genuine Christian church, these days are not exempted from savage wolves. The Maples Evangelical Church had experienced very painfully. This is why it's a timely reminder for us to continue praying for our church leaders and pray that God would not allow, would keep the savage wolves away from the church. As individual believers, how would you respond with these kinds of challenges that may happen, that may occur, the possibility of having savage wolves in the church? Well, accept the reality that Christians can be misguided. Even if we call ourselves genuine Christians, we can be misguided sometimes. As we have experienced before, again, it's not very, very pleasing. It's not very pleasant to remember the past, painful past. But it's a good reminder for us to remember what happened in the past, that we may grow from it, we may overcome it, but it should be a warning for us also to be responsible in praying for each one of us, especially our church leaders. Even mature Christians are misled. Even mature Christians are misguided. It's not because a person looks so good, so nice, that they are genuine in their agenda. We've got to be prayerful. Now we can find example in the Old Testament. Prophet Samuel, when he had grown older, he should have discerned how to choose God-called leader. The Israelites were asking for a king because the children of Prophet Samuel were not doing what God wanted them to do. They were not very responsible leaders of Israel. This is why the Israelites said, "We want king, we want king." And so the Lord told them, he gave them king, and then gave them King Saul. And King Saul did not do his best as their leader. He feared men instead of God. When the Israelites leader said, "Oh, we'll bring this," there was one time God told King Saul, "Go and attack the Amalekites and destroy everything." But the leader said, "Let's bring this good livestock and give offering to the Lord." Okay, if that's what you think that is best, let's do it, King Saul said. And that was his downfall, because he followed the instruction of the people, the leaders. Then he had proven that a fear of human is a snare. Fear of human is a snare. If you are scared of human, if you are scared of what other people will say, that's a snare for you. That was happened to King Saul. The Lord rejected King Saul, and he wanted Prophet Samuel to choose the next leader. And you know, the next leader, the next king of Israel was King David. And yet when Prophet Samuel went to the family of King David, he was about to anoint the next king of Israel. He was also misled to to anoint the wrong person. He had said, this should be the right person. He is a veteran in war. He is the strongest person. He is the oldest person. He is a very experienced soldier. He must be the next king. And yet the Lord told him in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And many times we are like Prophet Samuel. We choose leaders because, that must be the leader. He is very pious. He is very good in speaking. That must be the leader. Now, if Prophet Samuel was tempted to choose the older and more experienced, we are not better than the prophet. He is Prophet Samuel. And a long time prophet. He served the Lord from his youth until he grew old. He should have known better. And we cannot be better than Prophet Samuel. We can be disillusioned to choose leaders, to choose older or more experienced individuals. So we need to be prayerful. Even now, we have again election next year. Even now, pray that God would reveal to you an addition or next set of church leaders. If every time you remember the leaders, pray for that election too, that God would raise among us leaders who would join the leadership ministry. Be prayerful, not be a victim of electing counterfeit believers, not decide based on appearance, not decide based on experience or training or even smile. But as Apostle Paul advised in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the people, Lord's people." Actually, what we practice in the church, what we learn in the church, what we hear from sermons or from Bible studies, from Sunday school, they can be applied in private lives. So be very prayerful. Pray for discernment for you to decide according to the will of God. If you are praying for, like for example, if you are decide to get married, for us, any time is right time, but there will be time for that. Pray for the right time, right timing, and God would give you that peace in your heart. If you are desiring to buy, for example, your home, which home, which community would you like to be in? Be in a community where you can be a testimony to God's grace. You want to buy a new car? Which car do you want to buy? Buy car not to make you very proud, but to help you testify of God's grace. Buy something that you want to dress or anything, cell phone or anything that you can use. Pray that you can buy something not for you to tell your friend, I have this new gadget, you know. Instead, it should be used for the glory of God. So pray. This passage is very applicable for all occasion. It says, on all occasion, with all kinds of prayer, kinds of prayer requests. So, personally, I also make mistake. I make many mistakes because I am very focused on my plan. This is what I do. This is what I do. And not very prayerful sometimes because I think I know. And yet after I did it, I forget many crucial steps of what I did. So I go back to the start and pray. Many times we commit mistakes as a reminder for us that we need to be prayerful. We humans, we are inclined to choose leaders according to appearance, according to experience, according to training. And this is where we can find, we can hear, we can read articles. For us Filipinos, you're maybe very curious of reading articles about election in the Philippines. Oh, this one is newbie. He doesn't know anything about laws. Oh, this one is very popular. He must be very good in leading. Oh, this one is a traditional politician. He must not be the one. And this one, he graduated in this institution. He must know something. The greatest king of Israel was King David. When he was chosen, King David was the youngest. He had no experience in war, but he never lost any war. He always win in war because it was God who made him great warrior. He never lost in war. Be prayerful even when electing church leaders. Age doesn't matter to God. The Constitution says you can elect leaders when he is 25 years old or older. So if you are 25 years old, you can be potential leader of the church. If you are older than 25, you are potential leader of the church. Pray about that if you are a church member. Like King David, God-called leaders are prayerful believers. King David never lost in war because each time he went to war, before he went to war, he inquired of the Lord, what should I do? One time, King David fought the Philistines, and then his followers said, here in Israel, people do not like us. Here in Israel, we are scared of the soldier of King Saul. How can we fight the Philistines who are more equipped? But King David did not listen. Oh, he listened. King David did not follow. He was not king yet at the time. He did not follow the advice of his followers. Instead, he prayed, he inquired, and the Lord said, go, you will defeat them. And then at one time, the same Philistines that he would fight, he was not very confident in himself because he won the first war. He said, Lord, shall I go and fight the Philistine again? Yes, you go, but another strategy. The Lord gave him another strategy, and he followed different strategy, different from the first strategy that he used fighting the Philistine. And that was why he was winner always in war, because he prayed. You want to be a winner in everything you do. You want to succeed in everything you plan, you decide. Pray for God's perfect timing to implement the plan he had in your heart. Even when you're choosing career or choosing who to marry, choosing what to buy, pray for God's perfect timing. Friends, each of us is called to be leader. Each Christian is a leader. Can you say amen to that? You are a leader. You may not be called as leader of the church, but you can be called to be leaders in your home, leaders in your community, leaders in your place of work, leaders in your school. But all of us are called leaders. Maybe not leader of many people, but we are called to lead at least one person to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the responsibility to keep watch of divine opportunity to warn others of the impending imminent judgment day. Therefore, first of all, we need to keep watch of ourselves, our lifestyle. And second, we pray that God would make clearly to us the mission purposes He had for each one of us.